And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Monday afternoon. 1:08 in the afternoon on April 21st. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki along with our Ag Director Bridget Riedel. And good afternoon, Bridget. How was your Easter weekend?
Oh, it's been a fabulous day. I will say it has clouded over slightly. It was cloudy to begin with this morning. We saw some clouds, saw it clear, and now they've rolled right back in. So is that anticipation of rain tomorrow?
It is. Very good. Yes. See, you could do my job. I don't have to be here.
When you're not here, I do your job.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
We do have some rain in the forecast, and much needed rain at that, as we head into tonight and during the daytime hours tomorrow. Right now, we're in the low 60s across the area, and we'll warm up a few more degrees into the mid-60s with those southeast winds about 10 to 20. For tonight, though, we'll see the rain overspread the area from the south, and we'll bottom out in the mid-40s, and a few scattered morning showers tomorrow. And then I think we'll see a little bit of sunshine as we head into the afternoon with highs in the upper 50s. And then we'll stay in the 50s for the rest of the week with another chance of showers coming in on Thursday. And again, more rain as we head into the upcoming weekend. Remember, we said that final week in April is going to be the stormier part of the LRC cycle, and that's exactly what we're seeing, is numerous chances of rain between tomorrow and the end of the month, which is great news, Bridget. We're obviously well behind on moisture, and this is going to be rain that blankets the whole state. So areas even out west that have been very, very dry, we'll see some much-needed rain. In fact, over the next 10 to 12 days, I'm seeing about, 3/4 to an inch and a half across the entire state, and across actually much of the northern plains. We're going to see some much-needed rainfall over the next 10 to 12 days around here. So that's great news for our ag community as well.
And I'm not going to say, we're desperately behind in rainfall. In fact, I talked to our farm cooperator, Jim Ulan, last night. And really, if there's a significant amount of rain tomorrow, that's going to hold us off on planting wheat. There's a lot of acres that are, once you get just a little bit underneath the surface, it's still pretty slimy, particularly in the very heavy clay areas where our field is at, actually, because our field's southwest of Gardner. Having been in that field last week, it was pretty interesting to note how cold and wet the soil was. But I think that helped over the weekend picking up temperatures. We saw soil temperatures climb. For all those who are Endon fans, you're probably busy looking at your sites right now, making sure you have your temperatures down. And realistically, on the surface with our black soils, we're probably in the sunshine pushing 60-degree soils. So
already, really?
Okay. But we're talking soil surface. Right.
Okay.
You're not going down very deep to do that.
Okay.
So, more planting certainly is being accomplished. We've got sugar beets in the ground across at least 4 factory districts right now, and there'll be more. I think we've got quite a few cereals in the ground. And Western North Dakota, I already got pictures of kochia popping up. Nobody wanted to see that because that's one of our most
already
disgusting weeds.
Yeah.
But yeah, crush kochia, get rid of it. And we do see that. Yeah, we see a lot of early germinating kochia at this point. Mm. Because once it's a shallow seed, it's clinging close to the top of the soil surface. And once you start to get some warmth and moisture, boom, there she is.
Right.
It's unfortunate how much water hemp we're probably going to see soon as well.
Well, we're getting there.
Yeah, we are going to see that quite quickly. There's just no doubt about it.
Would the drought conditions out west kind of tailor that back a little bit?
If you get any moisture and you have seeds that are very similar, very shallow on the soil surface, that germination with any type of moisture is going to happen.
Okay.
Which is why, depending on what we're using for chemistries, we're trying to make sure that we create that soil barrier or that weed protection barrier very shallow to the top layer, because then you can sort of wipe out all the things that are trying to germinate at the beginning of the season right on top of the soil surface.
Gotcha. Okay.
We're going to see where that goes. But I do know that today was a day where a lot of fertilizer plants, if they weren't busy over the weekend, they are today. Folks are really getting prepared, as well as caught up over what they didn't maybe get applied last fall. A lot of seed moving out into farms and other locations. So it's going to be a busy week. Just going to wait and see what happens for rainfall and what that if that holds us up in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, the rainfall we get overnight tonight, tomorrow morning, across our area, the FM area, looks to be about 1/4 of an inch. Some spots could pick up maybe 1/3, but I'd say generally 1/4 of an inch or less across the FM area, with the more widespread rain waiting until the upcoming weekend and early next week.
Absolutely. And, again, it's rainfall. It's not snowfall, right? right?
That's right. Okay, I'm pretty confident in saying we're done with snow for the season.
I'm okay with that. That feels very good.
Yeah.
Now, one of the seasons that has rolled around is we are not far off, if haven't already started, tick season, believe it or not. Those babies like to come out nice and early. Montana Department of Ag is warning folks, if you're going out to Montana and you want to have a little vacation, maybe you're a hiker, a biker, those types of things, they have identified the black leg tick in Montana. Why does that matter? That's a tick that carries Lyme disease. And so that really hasn't been found out there before. They have a variety of other ticks that maybe Rocky Mountain spotted fever has been a concern, et cetera. But now they are wanting folks to remember to take their precautions, whether it's long sleeves, long pant legs, stay out of heavy wooded areas. Ticks are hitchhikers, so they're hanging on the edge of the vegetation, and they like to grab onto whatever's going by and then look for open skin so that they have an opportunity to take advantage of that. So that is a precursor to the fact that we will have mosquito season before very long. And if it's drier this summer, great. But I've heard you talk about the month of June, and there's a real good possibility we're going to have to keep an eye out for mosquitoes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just, well, and what I'm concerned about, too, there's we're going to have a couple of widespread severe weather outbreaks. I believe one is in July. It's on our LRC Outlook on our website. I believe one is in July. The one I'm concerned about as well, with the tornado outbreak they had in the Central Plains here just earlier last week, that will be cycling back towards the end of May, likely to be up in at least South Dakota and Minnesota, but it might make it as far north as our area as well, where they had destructive. They had last week the largest, the width of this tornado at the base was the largest ever recorded, which hit southwestern parts of Iowa. Luckily, it was an EF1, so it was a quote-unquote weak tornado, but the largest width of the base of that tornado.
I don't want to laugh about the largest width, but every time there's a tornado, you guys are like, it's the biggest one yet.
Well,
gigantic.
Thankfully, this wasn't a strong one. It was just the widest recorded on record, so kind of amazing.
Well, as we are...
Sorry, we get geeked out over
those
things.
That's okay. You can geek out on your stuff. I'll geek out on mine.
There you go.
All right, and as we approach that summer season, as you were talking about, more storms, different parts of the LRC will be cropping up. One thing that we can remember is that May is beef month, so get on ready to get your grill on. Also, there is great discussion these days about what's a good source of omega-3s, omega-6s, etc. Well, for about 14 years now, the beef industry has been working diligently to bring together a feed additive that can be used for beef that will help to increase the desirable omega-3 polyunsaturated fats in meat. So we know that those unsaturated fats are vitally important to all of us. They're the good fat. And this product is called Great O Plus. It is a supplement that goes into the feed. It's actually a blend of extruded flaxseed and microalgae. They are both high in essential fatty acids, and you're probably not just going to go eat them on your own.
No.
But feeding them to beef animals as we finish them out does help show quite a boost in that omega-3 versus their omega-6 and helps keep that ratio in balance. So what do you see in the animal? You see a better immune system and less joint inflammation, and that can translate to us as humans as well, that we would also have that happening for our bodies too.
That's good.
It's very good.
Especially the older we get.
Well, that's right. Age is something none of us are going to outrun.
Unfortunately.
So keep that in mind, that we will indeed continue to see things like that hitting the marketplace for all of us. So
now I'm guessing that would be a little more expensive then.
If it's a feed additive, depends on how they're going to price it. Is it going to be, if you price it reasonably across per pound of for the animal, great. Are you thinking that you're going to price certain cuts higher because of it? That may make a difference as well. So we'll see what happens when that lands in the market. But that ability to increase those omega-3s is important to a lot of folks. Mm-hmm. Again, May is beef month, so we're coming up on it very quickly. If you have questions while we're on air today, you are welcome to join us on the JLA Insurance phone line, 701-293-9000. Additionally, you are able to send emails to Dean and I, weather or ag at flagfamily.com. And you can be following along on our YouTube and Facebook channels. You can find us at WDAY, Weather and Ag in Focus. We're also on Acres TV. If you haven't downloaded that free application yet, it is the Netflix of agriculture, and you can catch all sorts of shows. We happen to be the only weather, and ag news on that channel. We have with us today Jake Jurstead. Jake is here with Bushel. We are going to be talking with Jake about the State of the Farm Report as soon as we come back from our markets with the American Ag Network. And once we do that, we have lots of questions. Dean's even got the first ones out of the chute already. So we'll be all set with Jake just after this. 1:23 in the afternoon here at WDAY. Thanks for joining us on Weather and Ag in Focus. We are, as you heard earlier, getting ready to launch our Here We Grow project, hoping to get some wheat planted yet this week. That would be ideal. Well, we got a couple sponsors that go along with that. One of them is Thor Buildings. If you are looking at building anything, whether it's the post-frame construction shed on the farm, storage space, etc. Maybe you are looking at something even more, the man cave, the garage, etc. You're going to want to talk to the folks over at Thor Buildings because they will make sure that you have the right size to haul, to house all of your equipment or livestock, whatever you might be doing. Additionally, ND Estate Services. Mark Wagner does a fantastic job of working with his clients to avoid the concerns that may happen to many families when there is a farm transition. Whether you're expecting to do it sooner or it happens later, Mark can be there for you. Guest in studio today is Jake Jurstead with Bushel. Hi, Jake. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Welcome.
So,
Dean, in person.
In person. All of us in person. This is a big day.
Yeah.
So we were in the weather office, and Dean says, who's our guest today? I said, Jake Jurstead. He says, what's Bushel? I said, ooh, that's a great question, because some people won't know.
What is Bushel? I haven't heard of it before.
Great question. So we're a software company. We're based right here in Fargo, North Dakota, headquartered. Well over 100 folks on our team. We build software for agriculture. So our main focus is working with grain companies, co-ops, retailers, ethanol plants, and mills to make their interaction with their farmer much more seamless, digital, signing contracts, making offers, selling inputs to the farmer, making that whole experience online and easy to do. And we do it with all kinds of companies around the country here.
And how long have you guys been around?
We started Bushel in 2017 when we launched.
Nationwide?
Yeah.
Worldwide
and,
yet?
U.S. and Canada is our two countries we focus on today.
Okay. Great.
Okay. So as the kid behind the scenes, because I'm familiar with yourself, your partner, Ryan, how things came about. But what was the impetus for that? Was it because of Ryan and his connection to farming? Was there something within you that said, I think I can make this easier for farmers? Who or what?
So Ryan Ragus and I co-founded the company together. All the way back, actually, we started building software together in 2011. So we've been doing software. But we even built some early apps with you guys.
Yeah.
And we learned that we were pretty good at the ag side of things, especially because Ryan, growing up on the farm, he knew the problems every fall with his dad doing the deliveries, tracking down the scale tickets, losing tickets out the window. That was the original story. Like, well, how do we fix this? And we started working with some sugar beet co-ops around here and then eventually into the grain co-ops in the region and others. And so we said, hey, well, let's solve the scale ticket problem where the farmer can just – they should be able to get that on their phone. Why do they have to keep track of the paperwork, right? And then it was like, well, then there's grain contracts and then there's the settlements and then there's what you've purchased. And it gets very complicated very fast. But we started with the simple idea of how do we digitize the experience for the farmer at the local elevator.
Now, do you deal with...
Okay, hold on. Before you do that.
Okay.
I got to set the scene on the scale tickets thing for you.
Okay.
So scale tickets are with the piece of paper that you get when you run a truck through the elevator and dump grain.
Yep.
Okay. And what happens is whether it's you, the farmer, or your kids or your hired men or whoever's doing it, piles those up on the dashboard of your truck, and then it's harvest and it's hot and somebody opens the window or the door and they all blow out. Oh. And whoever does your book says, where's your scale tickets? Well, I don't know. They're somewhere around Highway 13.
Well, in that part where they say, where are your tickets? Even if you have them all, they're all on stacks of receipts.
Yes.
Like a paper receipt.
Yes.
So now you got to go through and type, you know, if you're trying to keep track yourself, you've got spreadsheets and, you're, you know, mm-hmm. stamping them on the wall, whatever you got to do. And it's just ridiculous. And so we made it easy. So the farmer can pull up their Arthur Companies app. They can go and do a scale ticket report, and they can see all their deliveries of corn for the last 3 weeks.
Yes.
And they know their totals and they can export them into a spreadsheet for themselves and skip all that manual work.
Now, do you find it, is the, I hate to use the word older because, well, I'm getting there. Do you find it?
He says getting.
Is it, yeah, I'm getting here, right? Is it harder for the quote unquote older farmer? I mean, obviously the younger farmer is pretty versed in, you know, good in technology. Is it a little more difficult for the older farmer to hop on board with this?
No. We at least on our tools that we've seen statistically, doesn't really matter. If you have a smartphone or an iPad and you've got a phone number, Some people forget their phone number. Most people know it. Mm-hmm. You type your phone number in at your local facilities app from us, and you get a text code. You don't have to remember your own password. You get to skip that whole process. Type the code in, and you're in. And you will not believe, doesn't matter what age range, 85, 65, 45, they're all using the tools. I mean, it's way easier. And if it's on your phone and you can check that your son actually made the darn delivery right. on time,
yep.
that's important.
That's a good point.
But checks, checks in general, because I know I've seen the statistic where the number of transactions that you have cut down from paper checks to the electronic one and how high that is.
Well, the problem right now is that the average is that 85% of farms are mm-hmm. still getting paper checks for most transactions and also paying that way.
Yes.
So we're trying to make that the opposite, where 85% of it's a digital sort of ACH type of transaction where you can do it from your phone. Like we do Venmo.
Yep.
All of us are paying our kids and doing the whole thing. PayPal, we've been on those tools. But the ag world is way behind. And the government's not happy about it, by the way. The post office is like, we got to stop sending paper checks in the mail. We got way too many problems.
We can combine you with one of our other guests who's on very regularly, and that's Chris Sherman with Tech Support Farm.
Yep.
Because as we know, food safety is national safety, and those checks in the mail make a difference, whether it's to the farmer, to the agribusiness. And there is a lot of fraud, and a lot of checks are getting mishandled, you might
mishandled,
say.
Mishandled, lost. The post office said, hey, if you're outside of a major city now, you're going to be delayed a couple days
yep.
at least to get your mail. And if you have any chance of earning interest on that, that just went away.
Gone. Yep, totally
and
for
gone. The farmer, you deserve to make some money on your money. And so we've been working on those problems. We launched a business checking account for farmers with
yes.
our tool, Bushel Wallet, where you can earn now 3.43% on your money in a checking account.
Mm-hmm.
Just like business checking account, whatever money's in there, you're earning interest.
Better than Venmo.
Better than Venmo. Better than PayPal.
Okay. Also, you have your State of the Farm report, and we want to talk about that when we return from bottom of the hour news, because I find so many interesting pieces out of there, not just the demographics, but the response that you get and why people want to be a part of that. And then also, there's all this integration and one new one with CHS. So we're going to visit about those when we come back. Welcome back to our conversation with Bushel. Jake Jurstead joins us right here in studio to have that discussion. So the State of the Farm report. I've watched this report. I bet is this at least the third or fourth year I've seen it?
Yeah, and it even started back in 2017.
I was curious how long you've been doing it.
We bought FarmLogs, which was doing it for years,
okay.
and then we took over and we ran it for the last 3 years.
Do you feel like your response rate has grown versus what FarmLogs was getting?
Yeah, we're at like the peak right now, which is good. But there was a moment where we thought we were going backwards 1 year, but I think it was just a weird year.
Okay.
And now we've done a good job. We've got a lot of partners who are willing to share it with their farmer base, and our customers are saying, hey, go contribute to this report. It'll help us all understand how you're thinking.
So what is this report?
Yeah, so State of the Farm, bushelfarm.com, you can find it. It is different than your normal farm reports.
Right.
We are not asking about planting intentions. We're not expecting you to tell us what you're going to do on your operation from a business standpoint. What we're asking about is we need to know your context. Say, hey, how old are you? What kind of acres are you running? And what do you do? But then it's a lot of questions around the technology, the relationships that you have around you, and things like payments. What are the challenges you're dealing with on the farm? These are different questions than you're used to answering, right?
Mm-hmm.
Normally it's like, how many beans are you going to plant and what's the plan and blah, blah, blah. We're asking more about technology.
Sure. And there's probably a bit more honesty in it. And I say that as a kid growing up when it was still the postcards that came in the mail for
yep.
USDA or whoever.
Those still come, by the way.
You were still supposed, there you go. You're supposed to fill out your acreage reports. Yeah, my dad would give it to us kids. We were the biggest hog farmers in McIntosh County. We didn't have hogs, but we just made up numbers
yeah.
and put them on there. So accuracy was terrible. What you're saying, though, is people want to talk about these questions with you.
They do because they know it's not going to be used against them. It's not mm-hmm. It's not like we're trying to create some new problem for them. We're trying to help figure out where they're at in their mind. So here's some insights. You ready for this?
Yes, I am, because I was going to ask what you've learned.
Dean was asking earlier, you know, am I too old to use these tools, blah, blah, blah. Here's the deal. Everybody, there's a huge range of ages up into their 80s on this report. Big farms, small farms, medium farms, kind of across the board. But I'd say concentrated multi-thousand acre operations. Here's the main takeaway. 50 is the new 40 in the sense of where the adoption of technology is big. So people are willing and able to use technology and are willing to adopt and try new things at 50 and below. That mark used to be 40 and probably at some point 30 before that. And so the 50-year-old and younger are all in on using technology to make their farm operations better. That's an easy takeaway.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to ask you to define technology, though, because mm-hmm. some are going to say, great, I have this iPhone. But when you ask someone in your questionnaire about technology, are you talking about online banking, precision tools in a tractor, on their planter? What are you looking at?
We kind of ask all of the above. We have different sections. So we'll talk about things like, hey, what are you using for software? Mm-hmm. It's an interesting question because, you know, paper and pen doesn't count. And we're gonna take out Excel spreadsheet. What else are you using? The average farmer answer was 3 sets of software tools on the farm. That's way up from years ago. I mean, there was hardly any real software being used before besides your spreadsheets. So we're making progress there. Of course, a lot of them are using precision tools, and that's one of the biggest feedbacks in the report is, hey, this year, because of the challenges around pricing right now and cost of inputs, they're looking hard at management practices this year, and all of these guys are starting to think more and more about, you know, profitability per field and not just on their overall crop. That's a good trend.
That's a
and
huge
even
good trend.
Down lower than that. And so you need all kinds of tools to do that. And so it's very positive to see that. And again, at the 50-year-old and under mark, that is there's a huge trend where just, hey, we're willing to try new tools. We are using the tools. We expect as an agribusiness, if you're a local co-op or elevator, that these tools are provided to me because that's how I'm going to do business with you.
One of the categories I see says value of apps and software. And there's a running joke amongst many input suppliers that, well, farmers just want it free and cheap. Mm-hmm. Do you find that folks are willing to pay for the value of those apps, software, et cetera, that they're using?
I generally agree with your first part of the feedback, which okay. is that it's hard to sell software to farmers. So our view has been, if we can build tools that the agribusiness can provide to their farmer
yep.
for convenience, to make it easy to do business with, the farmers will use that. It doesn't cost them anything, but it does make it more convenient. You're going to actually buy more grain, you're going to sell more inputs, and you're going to have a better relationship with that farmer. And when you see our questions, it's not just technology, but what's important to you? One of the, always today, relationship's still the number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some convenience items that come immediately after that. Hey, are your dump times tough? Hey, are you providing these tools that I can just access and self-serve myself? For example, the preference of the farmer is they more and more want to be able to sell you grain through an online portal to be able to put their own offers in.
Yes.
But on average, only 15% of them have that ability to do that with their facilities. So now the facilities are lagging behind what the farmer is saying, I want to be able to do. So now we got to help them catch up, and that's what Bushel's here for.
When you think about your highest agribusiness user and all of the things they can offer to a farmer, what does that suite look like? You mentioned Bushel Wallet, but what are all of the different things that you offer out to that agribusiness?
Our goal has been to help digitize that workflow at the facility. So from the beginning of publishing bids to being able to let a farmer take an action and make an offer on a bid, to signing a contract, to seeing the deliveries, contract, and settlement, enrolling in direct deposit, which is what our wallet lets you do. You can set up a direct deposit payment from the elevator, to getting a quote for a fertilizer bid, to paying an invoice online for feed or fertilizer, seed, chemical, and knowing where you stand at all times. Mm-hmm. Like, we are digitizing that whole interaction, but it's on behalf of the agribusiness. So it's for them, it's their brand to their farmer, helping them keep that relationship strong.
When you watched the report results come in and as it was finalized, what were other things that you said, we're going to take this little piece of information, we're going to use it to help build better?
Well, the biggest thing for us was the farmers, their preferences are different than what's reality right now. And that's a leading indicator for all businesses. We should say, hey, if the farmer is saying, I want to be able to do this online, I want to self-serve these tools, then what are we waiting for? Let's get to it.
Do it.
Like, the worst thing you can do is think that your relationship is the most important mm-hmm. thing with the farmer. And because your relationship's special, you're going to make it inconvenient for the farmer to do business with you by not providing these tools. And the truth is, here's an incredible one. Farmers are making decisions outside of your working hours. Can you imagine from 8 to 5, that's not in the markets from whenever, that's not when the farmer's making all their decisions. They get home at night, sit on the uh-huh. recliner and go, oh man, I got to put some corn offers in. I finally made some decisions in my head today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not going to take the phone call at 10 o'clock at the office. So, but with our tools, they can put an offer in tonight.
Yep.
And tomorrow they might have sold you some grain and nobody had to lift a finger. So that's the kind of convenience. You got to meet the farmer where they're at.
One of the ways that you probably did that was with your integration with CHS.
Yes. So CHS awesome player in North Dakota, as everybody knows, incredible company. Just bought one of our friends in Minnesota, right?
They did.
That was pretty exciting to watch all this play out. And the deal with CHS is, hey, they want to make it easier for farmers to make offers and sell grain to them across the country. And so they rolled out our offer system. So their team's managing offers internally at CHS with some of our tools. But more importantly, the MyCHS app, which you can go get today if you're farming with them. You can go sign up or set it up. And then when you go to the bids, you can go in and just make an offer. So go put your target offers in with CHS. If you're going to plan to sell to them sometime this year, get those targets in. And when the markets hit, hopefully where they need to be this year, you're going to be selling grain. It's going to be the most convenient way you've ever done that before.
That's awesome. And you've been around since 17, you said, right?
Yeah, we launched in 17.
Where do you see yourself 10 years from now?
That's a good question. I'm 35. The company set to 2017. We started at 10 years from now. To be honest, this industry is going to look a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
I think we know this, but I think farms will continue to get a little bigger. Mm-hmm. But probably a lot of this decision making will be automated. Think about what AI is doing for like the legal world right now. You can imagine that the grain merchandiser's job looks a little bit more like running an orchestra of grain buying and decisioning than individually having to buy from everybody. I think that can be pretty automated, and the farmer's plan's going to be set, and these things are going to start to happen with less hands-on involvement, and you're going to be more looking and monitoring at the situation. And I think over time, we're also going to get better at understanding the market, the supply-demand problem, and then the effects of weather. We're just getting better all the time at that, which means there's less variability in our predictions and will probably be more perfect market. Now, that's bad if you're a trader and good if you're a farmer because you can start to make better plans.
So I have a user type question. All right, I've got my phone. I use two different elevator systems, right? Two different agribusinesses. Maybe one's a CHS, maybe one is a local co-op. Can I see all my things at both those places through the same app? Do I have two different apps? From a user standpoint, what does that look like?
Yes, we have a good answer for you. One is you generally want to have both tools because they're probably how they're communicating with you. That's where you're going to put your bids in, that kind of thing. But with the Bushel Farm app, which is a separate tool you can go get on your own as a farmer, we put all your contracts in one place, and we'll be putting more and more of that information from your mm-hmm. businesses you work with into a single tool. So you keep that line separate. This is your farm's place to put all that data and automate it. And then you also have your business you do with each of the companies. And we try to keep those things separate but make it convenient for the farmer. So Bushel Farm can solve that problem for you. All your contracts can show up in one place.
Which is incredibly helpful because I understand how I know how many things are on my phone. I mean, I just had to scroll to quick check if we were missing messages from listeners. And I understand putting things in one place makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Speaking of things in one place, you have a conference coming up in June called the Bushel Buddy Seat.
Yes.
Why is that exciting? Why should people be thinking about putting that on their calendar?
Well, so it's June 10th and 11th, downtown Fargo. It's with the broader Ag Tech Week here in Fargo that you guys are all part of. And we just have an absolute concentration of agriculture and technology in one place. And it's our conference. It's work with Grand Farm. And so we have our customers from all over the country, from the Pacific Northwest to the Southeast to the Midwest, coming in, and they're participating in our conference. And it's really like a user conference almost, where you're hearing from different people that have used our tools, and we bring farmers in on a farmer panel, and we'll do all this. We talk about the current state, what's going on, what's coming next, and maybe the broader future. Mm-hmm. Everything from hosting panels to bringing in some leading experts from some universities around the country to share insights on what we care about. And then the Grand Farms hosting the Cultivate Conference, which is awesome to see like what the future of tech really looks like coming in ag.
You also have the Midwest Ag Summit.
Yes.
The first, that
first
Tuesday,
part of the week, right?
The first part of that week. So I think it's, they kick it off, it rolls to you, then it goes to Cultivate. It is a very busy week.
Very busy
week. My calendar is quite full already for that
And if
week.
You're a farmer, you should join us if you're not busy at the time.
Right.
There's a lot of interesting things going on from a farmer perspective. And then if you're an agribusiness person, you got to be here.
I would strongly encourage that. Whether you use the Bushel app or not, this is a time to find out why, what you should be doing with it and what could be better for you. So as whether it's the farmer listening or it's the agribusiness listening, Jake, how do they reach out to you at Bushel? What's your mode of operandi for them to be in contact?
If you're a farmer, go to bushelfarm.com. And there's tools there for you, and it'll tell you if your companies you work with are on our tool, et cetera. And then if you're an agribusiness, bushelpowered.com is our main website to kind of show you what we're up to. And We'd love to work with you, whether it's streamlining internal processes, making your systems work, or just making it easy for farmers to do business with you. We'd love to help.
And making it easier is the best thing, especially right now. Everybody's watching just what you said, those nickels and dimes. We're talking about per field profitability, per acre profitability, right down to our bushels. And you guys can help refine that for everyone.
That's right.
That's important. All right. Well, when we return, more weather, a few more headlines, and we'll wrap up our day before Jay Thomas. So thanks for joining us, Jake.
Thanks, Jake. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. You bet. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. 152 in the afternoon. Temperatures out there in the lower 60s. And we've pretty much clouded over. There's a few breaks in the clouds, but we're looking at mostly cloudy skies. And we'll see showers come in after dark tonight. And those will last through the overnight hours. About a quarter inch here in the FM area is expected from the rainfall overnight. So some much needed precip. And thankfully, quite a few more chances, as the LRC has predicted for the last couple of months. At the end of the month, is expected to be stormier than normal. So good news, some much needed precip on the way. We're getting very strong indications over the next 10 to 12 days. We'll blanket much of the Dakotas and Minnesota with pretty close to an inch of rain, widespread. And that's over, you know, a 10 to 12 day period, but that's great news for the moisture. We need it. And I know a lot of farmers are getting out in the field and, you know, maybe the timing isn't the best for the rain, but hey, I mean, we need it. So I don't think there'll be too many complaining.
Well, I think we know that right now it's that time of the year where folks are getting ready to go to the field, especially because we often think of the Monday after Easter as go time. Mm-hmm. Well, we're there. Right. So let's all get rolling. And I look forward to hearing from folks throughout the season as how planting goes, where we're at, crop staging, et cetera. Sometimes these seasons get really extended. I think it was my first year here, we were still planting soybeans on July 4th. That was a very long, drawn-out spring.
Now, I've got a question for you. So drove from Rapid City all the way across South Dakota, Rapid City to Sioux Falls yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was surprised I didn't see more farmers out in the field. A, have they already planted or just haven't gotten to it yet?
A, it's Easter. So some folks have been planting for a while, okay, and they just said, that's it, I need a day off.
Day off, okay.
I mean, I have farmers who say, Mother's Day, we're not working. We abuse that privilege pretty regularly. We're going to take Mother's Day off. But they're in central South Dakota. This is more like the Oneida up to Gettysburg area. They have been so dry that there were planters that shut down and said, we're waiting till we get some moisture. I think if you made that same drive about midweek right now, you'd see a very different landscape.
Okay.
There'd be a lot more action.
Okay. I didn't even see, even the fields didn't even look tilled. I mean,
There's some folks down, you get to Yankton, mm-hmm, south of Sioux Falls, et cetera. They've been in the field.
Okay.
Now, there may also have been fertilizer that needs to be spread yet, depending on what they're doing, et cetera. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, we're not late.
Okay.
So we're going to be fine.
Good.
And I tell people that as someone's probably on their way to the field right now with a loaded planter, they want to get something done. Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Get it before the rain hits, right?
Go. Okay. So one of the things that is happening out in California, and we all kind of shake our heads when we hear what happens in California, but there have been, let's back up in history. Probably about 150 years ago, there was a designated area in Marin County, which is somewhere close to San Francisco. Please feel free to bring up all your maps and Google this, everyone. There is actually a national park out there called Point Reyes. I don't go there, so I can't really tell you exactly what it is.
Okay.
But that point in California became a designated spot for a number of farms. And there was dairies out there, but also grazing beef cattle. And starting back in 1972, the government turned that area into a national seashore. So cattle are grazing up higher, but there's this national seashore that's being protected as a federal park, if you will. Well, what has happened since then is now the federal government is shutting down about 15 of those farms. And these farms were all lettered. So there was the E Ranch by the Nunes family, the G Ranch by the Lenny family, the N Ranch was the Lucchese family, and then there were other dairies as well that were under those alphabet letters. Well, there are over 300 homes, barns, and farm buildings that are on the National Register of Historic Places, or some of them are on the National Register of Historic Places. Many of them are going to be bulldozed. The animals are being removed. The farmers are being told they have to leave because this is being a federal wildlife area that's being, or federal expansion of that protected area. So these folks are losing their farms due to the federal government's access. There are certainly lawsuits on both sides.
I would imagine, yeah.
Whether you're the farm or whether you are the environmentalist group. And it's not, just not pretty. So that is an area in California where they are about to lose several farms.
This doesn't have anything to do with Doge, does it?
No, this was all going on long before. I mean, remember, the expansion of the national parks happened 50 years ago in the 70s. And right. This has just been a continual fight ever since. But yeah, we are going to lose about 12 farms out there and some dairies on top of it, which is unfortunate. That was an area that the cattle actually are beneficial to the area because they complete the ecosystem cycle where they're doing the grazing on the plants. They're keeping down brush, those types of things to prevent wildfires. Their manure is certainly a green fertilizer, and now they're going to be removed from the region. So that is an unfortunate way for someone to lose their farm, is the government literally stopped you.
It'll be interesting to see how those lawsuits, and how they turn out.
You've been there for generations. You know, this has been something that's been in your family for decades, and now this change happens.
Wow.
So that is one situation. We always have several in California. You know, we had Prop 12 was initiated in California where it dictated how hogs were raised, and then that allowed whether or not that pork could be sold in the state of California. Some of those are still pending. It's been implemented, but the rebuttals to that are still pending at the Supreme Court.
Gotcha. Wow. All right. Well, that'll do it for today's Weather and Ag in Focus. Want to thank everybody for joining us. Don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show, that's coming up next.